bare polite. If it was fed down here in London, you're about two seconds. You understand? If I was down here in London, you're like, yo, you man are 2 minutes from getting nicked, bro. You don't move right now, type thing. Everyone was friendly up there.
Benched. Brought to you by 14HQ.
What's going on, guys? Welcome back to another episode of the Bench Podcast, man. Another day, another dollar, another week of the beautiful game has unfolded and been written into the history books. And as usual, every Monday afternoon slash evening slash morning, whenever you're listening to the pod, we are here to discuss it and talk about it, man. And just to let you in a bit of insight of the pod, this is actually take two. So,
yeah, man. We'll be honest with the fans, and we couldn't do it in one take. Yeah, we're not like these MCs. Yeah, you get me?
No, we're wheeling up ourselves, bro. Well, yeah, obviously there's been a lot of unfolding in the Premier League this weekend, and Charles,
yes,
it's been a great week for me, bro. I can't lie, it's been a fantastic week for Liverpool.
Enjoyed yourself, have you?
I have, mate.
You had fun, have you?
I have, bro. I can't
lie. Played Brighton twice. It's boring, mate.
Exactly, mate. We went there, got fish and chips. They came back up to Liverpool. What's a famous dish in Liverpool?
Scran.
They got some scran.
What scran is there up there?
They gave us fish and chips. We gave them scran, lad.
You got the Beatles and that, man.
Beatles. John,
you man got. You man got music. Ain't got no food up there.
Yeah, we got to have some. Liverpool natives, true native Scousers. If you know of any local dishes, I reckon you should get in touch with us, man. Let us know. I reckon that's a Scottish thing. I was gonna say a battered masba. Well, that's a Scottish thing.
A what? Mm.
Do you know why Scousers are called Scousers?
Why are they called Scousers?
Scousers are called Scousers because it was a famous port city back in the day, or famous port town, whatever you want to call it, back in like the 1800s, 1700s, or 1500s, maybe even earlier. And basically, there used to be Vikings or sailors that come through Liverpool. And whenever they used to go and sail, they used to eat this thing called Scouse. That was the dish. It's called Scouse.
So that's your dish?
And that's why it's called, and that's why
you mean our food?
Scousers. I don't do that.
Man,
well, don't quote me on that, but I watched some of the YouTube videos. So, Scousers, if you're listening, please, I love you guys. I am an adopted Scouser.
You lot are
I really
Vikings
love the city. I've been to the city
that.
Many times. I love you guys. I love the people, so don't hurt me, but I'm sure that's the story I heard on
no
YouTube.
Wonder the lingo up there is a bit mad.
Scouser. That's why they're called Scousers.
It's them Vikings trying to speak English, family. Yeah, trying to get the tone right.
Yeah,
and that.
I think it was something to do with that. But all right, Charles, man, before we get into the football, it's a two-man duo today.
Two-man thing.
Bob and Charles,
to
man, but the squad is strong, sorry. I was trying to think of duos to explain us. I was going to go for the classic, White and Cole, Dwight, York and Andy Cole. But I thought, no, you're a winger. I'm a midfielder. Can we do it? Can we name a duo?
A winger and a midfielder duo?
Son and Dembele. Well, let's call...
I'm definitely not Dembele. I hate that you...
No, I'm Dembele.
You can be Dembele.
Tottenham Dembele.
Oh, Tottenham Dembele. Nah, I don't want to be associated
what
with
Gerard
Tottenham.
What, Gerard and Torres?
Gerard and Torres.
That's Kem, man.
I could do that.
Pure Kem.
I could do that.
Why can't I think of ever midfielder?
Olmo and Lamine.
Yes.
Olmo and Lamine.
Who's got braces?
We're keeping it present. Keeping it with the times. Man got custom braces for the Classical, you know. Nobody mentioned that,
yeah,
by the way.
That's cool. The guy is 16 or 17, man.
The man has still got braces. But we need to do is shoulder barge my man in the mouth, you know. Sub him off quick time.
You have a bloody mouth, bro.
About his Rabona in you and that. Yeah. Outside of the foot travellers and that. Nah, blood.
What a player, man. There's a discussion that has to be had about
shoulder barge him in his face, blood.
Because man, them are talking about it. Fuck yeah, you know. Man, we're talking about comparing him with Messi and stuff. I think that's a bit crazy.
That's all very, very dramatic. Yeah, I think maybe the passing range, maybe you could have a discussion there, but everything else, I don't think there's anything to be discussed, to be honest.
Yeah, Messi's an alien, man. But we know that, guys. And we know the Twitter, the guys that hide behind the bios with the players on.
Oh, the man, they're dramatic. Oh, my God. scrolling the TL, like Arsenal-based anyway. Scrolling the TL, like Saturday night on the way back from Newcastle.
Oh, my
and
God.
And all of today,
meltdown.
Oh, dramatic.
Meltdowns.
Oh, my God.
All right, then, Charles. Well, you've teed that up perfectly, haven't you, mate?
Unbelievable. Well, listen, I'm not on some dramatic thing like these, man, but bloody hell.
Yeah, yeah. Let's talk about the game, man. Obviously, you traveled up to Newcastle. Was a good trip. I know, obviously, before we get into the game and get into the result.
Mm-hmm.
Was it a good trip, man? Newcastle's a nice place, right?
I mean, yeah, bro. It is actually a really, really nice place. I mean, I got there early doors, innit? So, I went overnight because the coach was cheaper.
Yeah, of course.
The coach left Finchley Road, like half 12, something like that. So, I literally got on the coach, went to sleep, woke up 6:30, like quarter to seven.
Calm.
I was in Newcastle.
Calm.
But obviously, it's early, innit? So, it's like, you know that point, yeah, on a Saturday night or like a Saturday, Friday night, Saturday morning where it's like The night.
Some stragglers, yeah.
Do you know, stragglers, but like very few, because the night has ended.
Yeah.
But the next day ain't begun yet.
Yeah.
I arrived in like that awkward bit. Like the shops are like not really open yet. The street cleaners are out. Do you get me? Like there's not really. There's like 10 people walking around on a random thing. There's a one drunkie just stumbling around. Yeah. Like so, I arrived at Newcastle like a real random thing. I stayed in the station for like half an hour just to keep warm. Then I went Bookies. Then I went Sainsbury's. Then I went and
what time the Bookies open?
Bookies open at like 8.
Oh no, see, this is where the government have failed us. Bookies are opening Bookies at 8.
Bookies are warm, fam. Warm. Do you want a cup of tea? No, I'm alright, love. I'm alright. Let me get this all quick acca going. £5 thing.
So the people are friendly up there, yeah?
Yeah, bro. Everybody's just walking up to you, talking to you nicely. Mm. One guy did come up to me and said, you want a minute? You got any sniff? I was like, blood.
Yeah.
Move from me, fam.
There's always one, though.
But otherwise, like, even feds, like, when a lot of the Arsenal, but when the majority of the Arsenal boys came, and, like, we were outside this pub and whatnot, they was all drinking and whatnot, no one was rowdy or anything like that. We were singing a couple songs, Gabriel, singing a couple songs. But the feds, like, anyone that was kind of, like, on the side or, like, a little bit out from, like, the main bit where everyone was, congregating at, just walked over to me and Jay, was like, yo, guys, can you just move over to the side, please? These people, that you know, this their shop, like, they don't want anyone outside of their shop drinking, you know, they're going to discourage people from sitting down. And just bare polite.
If it was
fed down here in London, you're about
2 seconds.
You understand? If I was down here in London, you're like, yo, you man are 2 minutes from getting nicked, bro. You don't move right now type thing.
Yeah,
everyone was friendly up there, for real, for real.
The Metropolitan Police move a bit more militant, mate.
I went to look a little, bro. I died though. I wanted to go calf and get something dirty, fam. Flipping eggs, beans, full English.
Proper fry up, yeah.
I went there, got salmon and avocado, fam.
Oh,
on toast.
So the Teesside is gentrified, yeah?
It was a little gentrified fancy thing that I went to. I Googled calf and like all the calves weren't open when I wanted them to be.
Yeah.
Like, cause I was hungry like 9 a.m, like 9:30. I was hungry, I need to go get one. Mm. So yeah, I found a little fancy one. Little salmon and avocado, it was nice. Little English breakfast tea and that, it was
very
cool
nice.
And that.
They say, I'm gonna have a bit of salmon and avocado for your day.
Trust me.
And you're gonna go enjoy the game.
Just before that, I went to the stadium early. Like I went to the stadium like 8:30.
How was it getting around there? Is it like... was it long to get to the stadium?
No, it weren't, you know. Like, the coach dropped me off, like, close to the high street.
Mm.
And then Jay come later, and he got dropped off at Newcastle Station. Like, from there, it was, like, from either side, like, from the high street or from Newcastle Station, it's probably, like, 10-minute walk.
Really?
To the ground. Yeah,
wow,
proper close.
Away, man.
Proper close.
Nah, weird.
And it looked like a vibe up there. I've heard the stories about nights out in Newcastle and that. I can see the vibe. Yeah. Like after the game, I see people starting their Saturday night early from 3 p.m. People's
well, just
out
up, yeah, just yeah. Up, just up. Yeah,
I see them heels, nah, everything.
I remember when
I
we
see
went
the man
there.
Them all dressed up nicely and that
doing
starting their night, starting their nights up from early 2-3 p.m. and that.
That's what they do up there. I remember Geordie Shaw, man.
You know, like that.
They set pace for the whole UK. I remember we went there for my 21st birthday. Wow, that sounds like a bloody decade ago or something like that. But it was a great time, man. And we only up there for one night, but we're students in it. So.
If you're an away fan going to St. James's Park, beware of the stairs.
Yeah, it's steep, isn't it? They beat you up in the gods, fam.
Count to, like, I don't know if you or any of the listeners have ever done this yet, but count to, like, 90, 120. So 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Silent. Don't look at your phone, nothing. Count to 120. We was probably walking for 2 minutes up the stairs.
Just to get all...
In total.
No lifts, yeah.
No lifts, no escalators. Do you know what? There was an escalator, but that's for the wheelchair man and the older man. And, do you get me? Like, the man
you
that
can't
actually...
Be that guy,
do you understand? Because otherwise, if you're able-bodied, you have to walk up them stairs and yo.
Good luck to your pal. Good luck to your pal. All right, Charles, well, you painted the picture. You went up them stairs, man. You got
it was
the
on the moon, bro.
On the moon. And then you sat down for the game, expecting probably a nice, buoyant Arsenal. Didn't quite go to plan, man.
I wanted to go get 3 points, and I came back with nothing.
Talk to me, man. We talked about the Twitter pages kind of going into meltdown and stuff.
Yeah, talking about Arteta out and all of these things there. Bloody hell.
Just to inform you guys, he just signed a new contract, so don't think that's going to happen.
Man, they're moving like spoiled little kids, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Well,
it's not that deep.
I'm going to look at Arsenal's form, man, because I feel like Arsenal in the last couple games, it's been last three games, I think it's been a loss.
And we've lost our last two away games.
Yeah.
Which is a little bit of a worry because, like, normally, especially last season and even the season before, like, we really prided ourselves on having, like, a... a really good or one of the best, if not top two, away from home league record. So
yeah, no, it's important, bro.
The fact that we've gone to the thing is, and the thing is with that, right? Because we've gone to Villa, we've gone to City.
Yeah, true.
We've gone to Tottenham.
And Villa's as tough as away game as any of them.
And we won that game. We beat Tottenham. We drew with City. Like, we could have beat them if not for a goal in the last minute.
Yeah.
But then we go away to Bournemouth. We go away to Newcastle and we lose. Like,
yeah.
It feels like them kind of things. It just feels like two steps forward, one step back kind of situation.
Yeah, no. 100%.
And I know that, right, like, I feel like maybe in the first 10 games, we might have had the hardest run out of all the top teams.
Mm.
Like, we've played Liverpool, City, Tottenham, the Newcastle, Villa. Do you understand? I think Forest first game of the season or something like that. We've played like not Forest. We played Wolves first game of the season, but yeah, like a lot of those big games, and especially away from home, big games at big grounds. Like, we've already gone and played, and I can understand where some of the other results that we've had, because of injuries, because of suspensions, because of red cards and whatnot, I can understand how the situation came to pass. Like the Brighton one, we went down to 10 men. City, we went down to 10 men. Do you know what I mean? Liverpool, we drew, but like Gabriel and Timber come off mid-game. We've already got suspensions and injuries going on. But this one...
There's a bit more context to those ones, but this one is like...
This one was like, yo, we had pretty much everybody bar Odegaard and Calafiori. Like, the performance, and we, like, the performance matched the result. The performance wasn't good enough, and the result obviously was not good enough. We want to go up there and get a point, get 3 points at least. Like, we have to, because we're already losing ground in this title race that we're trying to say that we're in.
Yeah.
And the performance just weren't good enough, man. It was flat. There was a lack of creativity from the forward players. The frustrating thing was, apart from the goal that they scored, which, to be fair, was a really good goal. Like, Gordon was out on the right.
He
put the cross on the money. And
big up Gordon, man.
And
like
Isak was just there in between the centre backs as the striker normally is, expecting a cross.
Yeah.
He put it on the money, it connected 1-0. Like, other than that, apart from a Joe Linton header at the back post in the second half, I can't remember a shot that they had.
Yeah. Well, bro, I'm looking at it now. Expected goals, obviously, XG was 0.53 for Newcastle. So that already suggests that they did make great amount of chances. And you look at the total shots in the game, 9 to Arsenal's 10, and the only one big chance they created. Well, again, you're saying what you're saying. You only had one big chance as well. But I also feel that your XG was 1, so 1.5. So that means, or 1.05. So that means that your chance, should have gone in.
We were making chance. I can't even, for the life of me.
I'm hearing it was a Declan Rice chance, right? The one where you...
Oh, bro, that was one, like, towards the end. Like, the cross has come in and, like, he's closed his eyes. Do you know what I mean? I feel like he's maybe the player... I was on the other side. I was on the other side of the ground in it, so I couldn't really... I haven't seen a replay back or anything, but I don't know. Maybe he thought that the defender was going to get it, so he's taken his eye off it.
Yeah.
He's closed his eyes, like...
Yeah,
but he should have got his header on target, like, from that far out. And he's scored headers for us before. Like, he's had headers from that range on target before, so... It should be hitting a target at least, but that was our problem, bro. Like, we couldn't hit the target at all.
You had that one chance off the line, right?
What one was that?
I'm sure there was that one chance that was off the line. That's what I mean. Because I remember I was listening to it on the radio because I was driving. They were like, Arsenal had one.
The thing is, I've only seen the game live, and I really can't recall it. Like, I haven't watched the replay or anything like that. But in general, like, we weren't hitting a target. Like, the final action, the final pass, like, it weren't right. Even our set pieces were off, bro.
Bare of our set pieces
hitting the first man every time. Like nothing we were doing was working. Like, nothing was going our way.
Yeah.
And yeah,
it was a bad day at the office in general, man.
It was frustrating.
So, bro, obviously, I hear what you're saying is like, it looks like the creativity and it looks like the goals, man, are kind of starting to dry up for the attacking players. I guess when Saka's not scoring. I guess
brother, now second half started and the away fans are screaming for Wanyeri.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah. Well, I guess you're looking for that kind of creative spark, innit? I know we had a conversation earlier about who was it? T that mentioned about letting Smith Rowe go. I don't know. Letting Vieira go.
But do you know what? Hindsight is a wonderful thing. Honestly,
hindsight
is old because Vieira weren't doing nothing. Smith Rowe couldn't get himself fit.
Yeah.
So like, don't watch what he's doing at Fulham and be thinking, oh yeah, he should, like, we shouldn't have let him go type thing. Like it.
But he could have been an option.
Like, he was literally here and nothing was happening. Could have like, been an option. Anything? Do you know what I mean?
Could have been an option for you guys this season. Obviously, I'm looking at Trossard now. Trossard only 2 goals.
Oh my God, Trossard.
Kai Havertz, how many goals this season? Let me see how many.
Havertz has scored a fair few, to be fair.
Kai Havertz got 4 goals this season.
He scored a fair few. He's got a couple in Champions League as well. He's got one in, I think he's got one or two in a League Cup as well. Like, he's been scoring goals.
But Kai Saka 3 goals this season. And then I'm going to look at Martinelli for the
Saka, to be fair.
Yeah, so he's been supplying them these years. But he's still got his fair share. Martinelli 2 goals. Obviously, it's still early doors. But I know you mentioned as well when we were talking earlier, you think you need a striker. Is that a thing that you're really calling out for? Or is Havertz that kind of... Havertz, Gabriel, kind of attacking unit you have. Is that going to be enough?
Yeah, don't do that with Gabriel.
Right, he's the only striker you have on the bench, bro. Right, that's I'm going to look at your bench now. He's the only real attacking option you have coming off your bench, bro.
Should I tell you the truth?
Go on.
Gabriel.
Is it time to go?
Cooked food, man.
Is it?
Cooked food.
Sterling's on your bench. He didn't even come on the pitch.
Sterling, we need to give that one back to Chelsea.
You think?
That's my, listen, it's Northwest, that's my boy, but we need to give him back to Chelsea.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Trossard.
Yeah. Did he play midweek? Played midweek, though. Played against Preston.
Preston. Yeah, Trossard. Bruh, Trossard can't play 90 minutes for us. And definitely not in the 10. Like, he has to come on hungry and come on the left after an hour. Like, I'm not here for these 90 minutes. Like, the thing with Trossard, yeah, is that, like, he'll put in meaty performances. I think the last good performance I watched him play was when I was at PSG at home, our first Champions League game this year.
Yeah.
That was probably the last time I was like, yo, like, the 90-minute performance from Trossard was really, really good.
Yeah.
Other than that, his performances over a 90 ain't really that strong, and he masks it with a big goal. Like, he's probably our best finisher in the team, if I'm being real.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if he gets into goal-scoring opportunities, he can do damage. But other than that, like, normally we play him on the left, yeah?
Mm.
He ain't got the explosiveness to get away from man.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, he's very much like we have to be dominating the ball and we've got them in a low block, and then he might be able to do something, pop up in a nice little position. But the way that we've been playing recently, where we've been letting teams sort of come onto us and we've been sitting back a little bit, where you now need to start breaking at pace, like, he ain't got that.
That's the
reason why we have Martinelli on. That's the reason why we have Martinelli more time on the left. But Martinelli is cooked food as well. Like, I can't lie, I'm losing my patience with him.
Really?
Bro, the fans, I think he had
a great game against us.
The fans are done with him.
Really?
Done with him.
The fans are done.
I'm in there this year.
He does work really hard, though.
Bob, you know I'm going to games this year, bro. Yeah, yeah. I'm in there. Yeah. The fans are done with him.
That's a shame, though, because obviously when the come up story of him and Saka was like, yeah, these men are going to take you guys and fire you guys to the top. Obviously, Saka's gone on to do his thing, but Martinelli getting left behind a bit, yeah, is that what you man are saying? And even if the fans are turning on him now as well.
Bro, the fans, I can't lie, fans have been done with him, but the more and more these media performances get put in, the more and more the frustration grows. I'm not here for party at right back. I'm not saying that he had a bad game. He even played quality against Liverpool. But like, the right back thing for him is Fugazi. Like, we need him in the midfield with Rice. Marino's okay, but like, it's early. I can't really call judgment on him yet, but he's not really like one that's like, yo, like,
he's gonna light up.
Do you know what I mean? Blowing us away, with his amazing performances, and like, he's just a very steady Eddie thing.
Yeah, I hear it.
And yeah, like, just going forward, like, we're now catting for this 17-year-old youth, like.
And
he came on after an hour and he did nothing. He tried one shot, like a similar one against Preston, went well wide, but otherwise he did nothing in that game. Do you understand?
To be honest, like, you can't even be like super mad at him, bruv.
It's a bit of an indictment on our squad building.
Yeah, I think it is.
That we're relying on this 17-year-old from the academy when we have Jesus, Havertz, Saka, Martinelli, Trossard, Rare. Do you understand?
Yeah.
What we've done is we've built very good from the back. Obviously, the keeper situation, the back four, you know how it was last year, like the back four was very strong. Even this year, like it's not the best, and we've had injuries and suspensions and whatnot. But our back four, for the most part, is solid.
Yeah, of course.
We've got Rice, we've got
That's
Partey
probably your
there.
Strongest department, I'd say.
Do you understand? Yeah. The back four.
And then it's funny that you said it, because I feel like it does go in that defence is strongest, midfield next, and then you're probably attacking unit.
This is what I'm saying. Yeah, I'm looking at Chelsea today thinking, yo, like...
give me one of those, man.
Do you know what I mean? I'm looking at Liverpool thinking, yo, like, you lot have got all of these, like, even Gakpo and that off the bench, Nunes and that off the bench. I'd take one of them right now.
Do you understand? Even Nunes, you take, bro.
Do you understand? Like, even Man United, like, not Man United. But do you understand? Like, I'm seeing across the league, there's bitsy wingers and strikers everywhere, and I'm thinking, yo, like, if we could just have one of them.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So
do you know what's mad? I feel like maybe Sterling was one of the twists. Like, you know, stick or twist, I think he was one of them.
I mean, from last year, yeah, we all knew that we needed something at left back because Zinchenko was not it and Kivior was not it. So we got Calafiori. Boom. We needed a body in midfield. We got Marino. Boom. Mm. Everyone was saying, yo, we need a winger. We need some kind of backup or whatever for Saka, Sterling. Boom. Mm. So you'd think from that transfer window... It's like, all right, cool. Like, we've got cover. We just need to keep going with the players that we have. But at the same time, like, if we want to catch City or overtake them, I feel like we needed one more. We needed a winger or a striker.
Probably needed a starter, you know.
We've been talking to TT. He's greedy. He wants both. He wants a mad winger and a mad striker.
How greedy.
But this is why I'm hoping, right, that for us this season, I feel like we need to hang in there and we need to get a striker in Jan.
Hanging there in what sense? Like
in the sense of like just
stay
try,
in touch with the
yeah.
The
stay
race.
In touch. Stay within striking distance.
Yeah.
And we need to re up and get a striker in Jan. I know we might get bumped with deals and whatnot. You might not strike the best deal in January, but boy, Afi,
Goldsman game.
Listen, we need reinforcements up top.
Well, bro, I'm looking at this now. Obviously,
ASAP.
This top five, yeah. Obviously, Forrest is squeezing themselves in there. So big up Forrest. But they're currently third, actually, above you and Chelsea, which is crazy.
Yeah, mad thing.
In terms of like the,
we
I
got
guess,
them soon.
The overarching title race contenders, I guess, that people have been talking about this season: Liverpool, City, Arsenal. In terms of City, you guys are 5 points away from City and 7 points away from us. So, like you were mentioning earlier, it's already kind of got ground to make up. But let's talk about just quickly to wrap it up on Arsenal. We were talking earlier about a mentality problem, or is it a mentality thing? I think at the end of the season we can have that conversation, but in terms of the meltdown and stuff, what do you think, like what's going on? What are Arsenal fans saying? Like, what's the temperature out there from the Arsenal Twitter fans?
Anyway? It's been 5 years. There's no league. There's no Champions League.
Yeah.
He sold us a fake story of this process and fuck the process. He's done as much as he can do.
He's not
going to win us anything. Get him out. Oh, it's a failure. Oh, how many hundred... do you know what I mean? It's just all of that. And
he spent a lot of money, though. He has spent a lot of cash.
I hear, but if you deep it, man are saying, oh, like, he's been in charge 5-6 years. We've only been good
for like three of those years.
2 years.
Yeah.
The last 2 seasons, we've only been good.
First season back in the Champions League was last season.
The squad that he took over from was a mess. Yeah. We had to spend a good 200-300 mil just to clear that out and get to something respectable.
That could challenge you.
And now we're a good team. And now we're snatching at it because now we feel like, oh, like... Yeah, obviously City, it feels like City have regressed a little bit.
We'll get on to
Liverpool have changed their manager. Like, oh, maybe there's an opportunity there to try and win something now that City are maybe coming back towards the pack.
Yeah.
And maybe Liverpool might not be as strong as they were before. So now we're thinking, yo, it's our God-given right to go and win the Premier League.
Now it's our turn.
It's
not
anybody's God-given right. Do you know what I mean? Like, we have to be... We have to be better than City. We have to be better than Liverpool. We have to be better than everyone.
Yeah, you have to earn it, fam.
Do you understand? We have to earn it. That's what I'm saying. And we have to be honest with ourselves. Like, right now, it don't look like we're going to win the league. It don't look like we're playing good enough to earn winning the league.
Yeah. Well, that's
and the
very
thing
honest
is,
you,
even and even with, like, Odegaard is a big... He's literally our
best
player.
Miss, yeah.
And he's a huge miss. But even with Odegaard missing... It can't be this bad because it's been bad the last couple of games.
And I think that says a lot about your squad, innit?
It was only Liverpool at home for the first half where I was like, oh, right, okay. Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah.
You City well, in the first half. Oh, yeah, all right. Cool. Yeah. Say no more. Looks like we can get out for the big games. But fam.
Yeah, these ones are becoming a bit of a problem. Big up Newcastle, man. Isaac scores again. I don't know how long he's going to be in Newcastle for. He's obviously got a contract till 2028, so he's going
to
be staying
I take him,
there.
Man. He can come
three
to
goals
us, bro.
This season. Yeah, he's a player that you could do with.
Yeah, I'll
he's one you could break the bank for.
Yeah, right? Man.
Because he'd be a great piece in your armour. Arsenal fans, don't panic just yet, is the message from Charles. I know you, man, are getting a bit upset and stuff, but rightly so, because you want to win stuff.
Trust.
But, man, it's a bumpy ride. Not everyone can be my guy, fam. Not everyone can be Mr. Jurgen Klopp. He set the bar too high for these projects, man, and big him up. But let's go over to our rivals, our the guys that are always cheating on us, treating us bad, and always making us come in second place, and that is Manchester City. And it's lovely to see them suffering a bit as well, because I saw someone say the other day, yeah, that maybe from when they... won the treble. After they won the treble, they went, oh, kind of took their foot off the pedal a little bit. I know they won the league last season. They could have won the FA Cup as well.
Yeah.
But in terms of like that level, it's not to say that they weren't good. I just think the level they were at the treble was almost like unstoppable. Do you know what I mean? So obviously they go to Bournemouth yesterday. Bournemouth have already, you know, they've rattled you guys. So they're willing to take on the big boys. And Bournemouth win 2-1. Semenyo in the 9th minute. Evan Nilsson in the 64th minute. And then obviously Guavido gets that goal.
It's fantastic.
Late on, and they, to be fair, they were knocking on the door, bro, in that last like 10 minutes. But bro, Bournemouth done really well to keep them out. City, man, I just think Bournemouth earned this win. I don't think it's a lucky win.
They did.
They earned it, bro. Do you know what I mean? They earned
obviously
it.
They was riding high off the game against us.
Yeah, exactly. I listened to the whole game on the way home because I was driving, which is a unique experience, listening to a whole game on the radio.
Yeah.
But from what Troy Deeney was commentating
Talk
on
Sport
it.
Team.
Yeah, big up Talk
Troy Deeney commentating.
He was commentating on it.
Say swear.
And he was just saying that, Rav, the press of Bournemouth was really, really good and it was really high, so they definitely earned the win. And then Semenyo, man. Semenyo, bro. He's really turned up this season.
Yeah, baller, you know, on the low.
Yeah. Bro, low-key a baller on the low. And the funny thing is, yeah, they took a punt on this guy because where was he at before? They brought him from Bristol City, 2020. And then, bro, he finally gone and got his chance in the Premier League last season. Only 23 years old.
I'm seeing Kyle Walker in the back line for City. Cooked food, mate.
Yeah, bro. I think
that's another
one. How old is Kyle Walker? Let me have a look at Kyle Walker.
Kyle Walker's a good 34, I want to say. 34, 35.
Yeah, great guess, mate. 34. Cooked. So it looks like...
24? What?
34, sorry. my bad. Man, it just looks like... Dare I say Man City are missing a bit of a... You know how you guys are having like a creative problem?
Yeah.
I feel like Man City have kind of hit a bit of a wall in that sense as well. Because
they got Foden, innit? Yeah, Player of the Year last year, innit? Wanker, bro.
Yeah, Foden gets away with murder, to
Wanker.
Be fair. But I want to say, City, man, I don't think it's time for them to panic. I don't think it's... But it's surprising that they lost this game, I'll be honest. This is a game that you normally expect Man City to win.
Good, man, because what was I saying on the pod last week about that unbeaten run? It started hitting the 30. I was thinking, oh. Don't get too close.
First time in Premier League history that Bournemouth have ever beaten Manchester
That's
City.
That's quality, man.
So big up Bournemouth.
Shout out my boy Evan Nilsson. I like him, man. I rate him.
Yeah, and you know what they were talking about yesterday as well? Look, bro, Kirkes, fam.
Oh, the left back. Yeah. He was moving warm.
Listen, Robbo, man, you're my guy now, fam. There's a couple candidates emerging here, fam.
You got a shopping list, bro. Little 8-9, little Kirkes.
And the thing is, yeah, the goal comes from, we're talking about Foden. Foden got cooked for that goal, bro. I feel he just gave up. And it's a great finish from Semenyo as well. Like, I love that touch, man. And the spin.
Yeah, love that.
Great finish, man. Man City, bro, do we think... I just want to shout out to Guavido as well because, bro, he's playing really well.
He's annoying me with how good he is, man. It's actually kind of jarring.
Yeah, he's actually a great
good
player,
defender, man, for real. And he's young, bro.
Yeah, he really is, man. Is this the season, man? Is this the season where City finally go, all right, you have it? Do you know what I mean?
I hope so. They're dealing with a fair few injuries as well, to be fair.
They do, innit?
Obviously, Savinho just went off in the cup against Tottenham in the week.
Oscar Grealish out, Rodri out. There's a couple others out as well.
Yeah. So they
got... De Bruyne was only on the bench. Didn't even play, by the way. Savinho didn't even play yesterday as well. And he was on the bench. So obviously Pep didn't want to chuck him in if they're halfsy-armsy.
So yeah, they got a couple... They're another team like Arsenal. They've got a couple injuries as well. And it's kind of affecting, I don't know, their overall confidence or whether they're playing. You know, They lost in the week to Tottenham.
Yeah.
And I think maybe... I do think maybe you could chalk that one because Pep played a lot of kids in that game.
Yeah. You see that shot of him, the man laughing as well.
Yeah. They didn't really look too bothered about
even
that
Pep
one in the week.
Laughing,
but the thing is, even like a loss a loss on the record, like whoever was playing, it still I believe has a psychological effect.
Mm-hmm.
And it might
especially
not...
when you're meant to be the invincible guy.
Yeah.
Get a loss, must be a shock to the system.
So yeah, it was good, man. They caught a team on form, and yeah, they got punished for it, man.
Big up Bournemouth, man. Big up.
And yeah, creativity problems. I don't think Gundo's doing it anymore. I feel like he might be a little bit over the hill with it.
Yeah.
Foden's too selfish. He don't really look for Haaland like that.
Yeah, he's looking for goals, and goals.
Bernardo,
man.
Silva, I'm not really seeing.
I feel like he hasn't got like his man then with him. Do you know what I mean? Normally he's got the cavalry with him, innit? De Bruyne and Rodri. I feel like it's just him out there trying, bruv. Nunez as well. Whoa.
Yeah, cooked food, yeah, man. Yeah, they got him playing out on the left.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
On the left.
But like Bernardo's looking around going, bruv, where is everyone? Do you know what I mean? Where are the man them? Obviously, no Ruben Diaz, no John Stones as well.
And then Haaland is just looking like a lemon up top, fam. No service, bro.
Just getting frustrated.
And then other than that, like the interlinking, the link up play and whatnot isn't the best from Haaland, as we know. Like he's a finisher. That's his bread and butter.
Yeah.
But he ain't really getting service like that. So
yeah, he only had two shots yesterday. Well, yeah, he had five shots yesterday. He went through. 21 touches of the ball as well. So
20 coming like Lukaku, fam.
21 touches of the ball now.
I got 21 touches.
Well, City man, if you're looking like you have a chink in your arm, brother, it's our time for us to exploit that. And if Pep, if you want to have a weekend off or have a season off, mate, please do so. So we can have an Arnie slot win. All right, City man, the troubles are going on and on for you guys. But let's move to my team because this was a win for us this weekend. And it didn't look like it at the time because I can't lie. Again, as I said, I was listening to the game. We were getting peppered in that first half. And Brighton, they could have doubled their lead for sure. But I just want to say that first goal from, I don't want to butcher his name, but Kadioglu. Oh my God, what a goal that was.
Yeah, great finish.
Oh my
great
God,
finish.
What a goal.
He should have got two, though. He should have got two. I remember there was a move where they were kind of hitting you on the counter a couple of times where they got the first goal and they went and done it again. There's a ball floated from Matoma to the back post and he volleyed it first time.
Yeah.
I feel like he should have, he skied it, though. Yeah. He should have, if he got that on target, that's a problem.
Yeah, for real. And I think, again, man, this is why I guess football is so subjective, isn't it? Because there was on the radio, it said that this guy brushed past Van Dijk. It wasn't quite like that. It wasn't quite like for the second chance that they had.
Do you know what it is? Oh, he messed that one up as well.
The ball
was quality, though.
The ball.
The ball was 10-10.
Bro, when I'm driving, bro, just describing it, I'm thinking, oh no, Van Dijk's lost his dribble pass record. I'm very worried.
The ball was 10-10.
The ball was amazing. What amazing pass.
And Van Dijk, like, he just found it because of the way that the ball curved.
He
got an arm on him, but yeah, like, he was on the wrong side of him, but I still feel either way, the striker should have scored.
Van Dijk just about done.
Got away with it, man.
To kind of put him off a little bit because he was putting pressure on him. He made Van Dijk run out there. But yeah, I was listening to Arnie Slot in the post-match comments. He was saying, obviously, it was a game of two halves. And he was kind of saying that, like, bruv, you can't allow Brighton to do this, isn't it? Brighton are a good team. And we were just letting them press and we were just letting them play their game and stuff. And I was actually a great example of it in that chance because there was a chance where, I don't know, man, bruv, I'm actually not going to say his name because it will start getting personal. But there's a point where I can't remember which Brighton player had the ball.
Say
the
his name,
played
man.
The ball. And McAllister! I want to love him, man. I want to love him. But, bro, Arsenal is they've been held to a high esteem in this Klopp era. So the next era, I need him to be high as well. But, it was just like, that's where, and that's what Slot said, like, the press, well, we weren't pressing. There was no energy from us.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a prime example of it because that ball come from just a half-hearted press. And then there you go, they're in straight away. But the second half, obviously, Cody Gakpo gets a bit lucky with his goal. And I think brother will take it, though, innit? Do you know what I mean? They'll count. And then Mohamed Salah, man. Oof, he's...
Cheat code stuff.
Oh, bro.
It's just classic Salah, innit?
What a...
How many times you see him cutting like that and then sling it in the top corner like that?
I think
how many times, bro?
He's starting to get his flowers, isn't he, man? Because, boy, oh boy, 164 goals, eighth highest Premier League goal scorer of all time. I don't know if we're going to give him a contract or what. He put out a
cryptic message.
Well, we had too much shisha, mate. Put a cryptic message on Instagram, obviously saying, like, this is where the club needs to be. We need to be top no matter what happens. Like, I'll never forget the feeling of scoring at Anfield.
That's giving last dance, you know. That's giving last hurrah, man.
I think just give him the money, man.
Obviously, there's been a lot.
Just give him the cash.
Ain't you giving him a bag of cash?
Yeah, give him what he wants.
You gave him the 300 plus, no?
Oh, I know, man. It's them, man. It's, you know, it's them, him, Trent and Van Dijk, they're just eating up all the budget. Unfortunately, man, them, I think they're at an age, yeah, where, let me just look at all these, man. I think Van Dijk, how old is Virgil Van Dijk? Virgil Van Dijk is, drum roll please, he's 33.
Eesh. Bro, the man there can go Dubai, fam. He can go Saudi, man.
They still look clean, though, man. Van Dijk's still arguably the best centre-back in the world, man.
He can go Saudi. He'll still play for Netherlands.
Bro, obviously Salah's 32.
Salah won't go back home,
so obviously,
fam.
Trent's a young man, so that we don't have to worry about that one. But it's like, bro, even though their man are older, bro, these are special players.
Depends how ambitious or how adventurous Trent is feeling.
Yeah, exactly.
He's sorted the earth. Do you know what I mean? Like, he's Liverpool. Do you get? So if he's waiting for you lot to maybe, I'm sure all three of them are in talks and saying, are you going?
Yeah.
If one or two of them go, obviously there's more budget that opens up for Trent. And I feel like if you're gonna get one to stay, I think Trent will defo stay and he'll get armband if them two leave. Just as an example, innit?
Yeah, no.
You're more likely, I think you'd be... I think you'd probably want to keep Trent or Verge more.
Yeah. What, then Salah? Salah's he's the marksman, man.
You got to play the long game, though, innit?
Do you know what? Yeah, I think I'm there for it, man. I think, obviously, I've been kind of battling back and forth.
What, till he's 38?
And he's
long enough to be a villain.
Bro, but he does yoga. He eats well. He's always in the sauna.
He does Pilates,
bro. He looks after himself,
LeBron James thing.
Oh, bro, I actually think he looks after his body. He's looking like he could be, fam. He's not slowing down, bro. Do you know what I mean? He's not slowing down. He's 32 and he's not slowing down, bro. He got a hair transplant, fam. He's looking good, bro. Do you know what I mean?
I said he got a trim.
Fam, he's probably, arguably, the best winger in Premier League history, bro. He's knocking on that door.
He's up there still.
Yeah, he's up there, bro. And he's up not there. He's not up there like, ooh, am I up here? He's like, yo, what are you man saying? I'm at this table, fam.
He's up there still.
Nah, big man thing. So I think, obviously, as the time goes on, he's just looked at just... There's times in last season where he just wasn't looking as sharp. But, bro, I think he's just back to his sharpest, fam. And I really think, like... I don't know how Michael Edwards and them are gonna like dish up the cash here, but bro, we gotta make it work in my opinion to keep all three of them, because boy, if they go,
I don't think you. I'm not sure.
Realistically,
if you can.
I'm not sure if we're gonna be able to do
if
that.
If you could keep one or two, in fact, and one had to go, starts up. So which one of that out of them three? Trent,
I'm
Virgil,
keeping Salah and Virg.
You keeping Salah? And Virg. Oh, yeah, Trent. Yeah. Trent can.
I love Trent, man.
You saying Connor Bradley? Yeah.
I think we could, if I had to pick out the three, I don't want any of them to go.
Yeah.
But I think if I had to pick out of the three, I think we could operate a bit more solid with Salah and Van Dijk. I think if Trent was to go, I think we could make it work. It won't work the same and it might not be as potent and we might not be as lovely in the way we attack, but I think we could make it work if we didn't have Trent.
Who's going to take set pieces? McAllister.
Szoboszlai. Knuckleball, everything. But Szoboszlai, mate, you're lucky that we're tired, bruv, because I could, bruv, Szoboszlai, McAllister, the new boys, bruv, you're very up and down, but one guy I want to big up is Curtis Jones.
Is Kanate, what's the situation with that? Because I heard he went off injured.
Yeah, he's not as bad. I think he'll be back for the next game. That's what he said on his Instagram. Because he had the go-home post. Big up. But Joe Gomez came on and played amazing, bro. He should have scored his first goal.
Yeah,
open header, man.
But, can't believe he ain't scored.
Yeah, it's mad, isn't it, bro? Everyone was saying for Klopp's last game, he was gonna score. But we're so romantic in Liverpool.
You lot are. Childish,
all right, man. Let's go over to today's action. The mid-off between Chelsea and Manchester United. It was like some playground stuff at some points,
brother,
man.
Can we talk Jeebus. About that as a spectacle?
Yeah, bro.
That was painful to watch, you know.
Jesus Christ, man. Some
turnover City, bro.
Yeah, it was really bad at some points. It was just like to me, to you. 1-1 though the game finished, and obviously Manchester United, we're talking about like some of the lowest scorers in the league at the moment, not really scoring the goals. They did create a few chances. They did create quite a lot of chances.
United, was, at home, new manager, bounce.
Yeah, new manager.
Ruud van Nistelrooy in the dugout now. There's a little bit of a good feeling or an excited feeling around.
It feels like the little
Ten Hag cloud has been lifted off for Old Trafford. Mm. And now they're feeling a little bit better about themselves. So yeah, they was really going for it. They really wanted to put in a good performance for the fans. And the performance actually wasn't too bad, considering... the performances that they've been putting on throughout this whole season.
The shit show has been for the whole season.
And
mate,
even with this draw, it's still like their worst start to a season ever, which I love. Yeah, you man, I solidified in 13th today after that.
No more 14!
It's just 13!
Yeah, no, it's
13! 13!
Yeah, man.
But, yeah, bro, that, like, they missed a lot of chances, bro. I don't know what they're going to do with this Højlund, with this Xerxes. I don't know what the striker situation is going to be. They might have to go again in Jan, man.
Four big chances, only one goal, and it came from a penalty.
They're gonna have to get a striker in Jan or in the summer, man.
You think it's done time to...
Yeah, bro, it's not good enough, bro.
You think they're going to throw them out?
None of them, man, can score, bro. Ooh. Obviously, you know how it is with Rashford. Like, he's not really feeling...
Yeah, he's got to be in the zone.
Garnacho's not really clinical like that.
Garnacho.
Amad Diallo's getting trash minutes. Mm. Do you understand? Like,
I feel like Garnacho, yeah, he could be a good player, but I feel like he's not coached, if you know what I mean. I feel like he's got a load of attributes that are actually really good, but I think his IQ is just off.
He'll shoot when
he doesn't need to shoot. He'll cross when he doesn't need to cross. He'll flat cross it when he needs to loft it. He'll loft it when he needs to zip it across the box. He's such a frustrating player, man. But
decision making needs to improve big time.
Yeah, for real.
And I think his consistency as well.
Let me see how old Garnacho is. But obviously, then Chelsea.
Even Martinelli.
Yeah, exactly. That's a great comparison. Jarring. I can't lie. Chelsea obviously came back into the game with a great goal by Keita, who played well today.
Yeah, great. Yeah. Off the ball. Well.
Yeah.
Off the ball work was good. A lot of those turnovers that were happening in the game from Man United were coming from like that kind of centre of the midfield.
Yeah, for real.
Where he was operating, he was putting in a lot of good work. Yeah, trust me, munching
it up, bro. Whoa. We saw Scott on Twitter today. Obviously, he wasn't happy with Nicholas Jackson.
Nicholas Jackson,
man, bro, he gets a hard rap for him. If he doesn't score, it's like, oh, he's the worst. But if he does score, his brother, it's like, oh, this guy's actually good, you know?
I can't lie, but I'm not convinced about him.
Even though
he's been doing all right this year,
I'm
still not convinced, man. I'm seeing a lot of, like, I don't want to feed into the Twitter narratives and whatnot, but I see a lot of Drogba talk, and I'm like, blah.
Yeah, that's
I'm
big
like,
choose
stop.
To fill, though,
I'm
man.
Like, stop that,
and
man.
Drogba had, I know Drogba, like, when you look at his scoring record on reflection on paper, you do go, oh, okay, cool. Maybe it's not as impressive as his reputation gives. Because there were some seasons where he only scored like fucking 10 goals and stuff.
But he was a serious.
But when he was quality,
man.
When he was a serious target, some of the goals that he scored was like, no, that's just pure quality.
Man, one up front, occupying two centre backs. Yeah, yeah. So Lampard could just go in.
Peak of his powers, man.
Do you get me?
Pure quality. And I think that's where they're looking for that comparison, and obviously because they have similar builds, similar.
That ain't happening
builds,
with Jackson.
Player styles, but yeah, that's going to be difficult, man. Manchester United, bro, we're remembering. We'll talk about him a bit later, but.
Yeah.
Man, what do you think, bro? Do you think it's going to be a match made in heaven? Well, I guess who knows with Manchester United, bro?
I mean.
If anyone can ruin it, it's Manchester United.
I know he wants to. I'm hearing that Amorim likes to go with a little 3-4-3, so that could be quite interesting. I don't know who they'd run as centre backs, maybe like Martinez.
De Ligt
and maybe Yoro when he comes back.
Yeah.
Maybe something like that. Mm. The two in the midfield. I know he's worked with Ugarte before, so he's likely to have Ugarte in midfield. Maybe with like Casemiro or something like that.
Ugarte is pissing me off though. All I see him do is just push people over, bro. Do you know what I mean?
I think he's like a younger Casemiro, but he ain't got the passing range of Casemiro as well. At least like Casemiro's got a little bit of passing range. Yeah. He's just
like
a combative midfielder, innit? Like, it's nothing special, to be honest.
Yeah, for real. I'm not really impressed with him at the moment. But Manchester United versus Chelsea.
Cole Palmer stank today.
Yeah, I saw it. You see flashes of his brilliance, innit, don't you?
Little flicking that here and there, little drag here and there.
That touch into space where he was
Martinez, he's a madman as well, by the way. He should have been off. That penalty that apparently, you know, I wouldn't have given it as a penalty, but like something like that. Mm. And then obviously the foul on Cole Palmer, like he's just a rash man.
Ten Hag, mate.
Man, they need to chill out, bro.
Your boys will be out the door before you know it, bro, when Amorim comes in. I think there's going to be a big clear out.
A lot of them Ten Hag players.
That's actually so bad how much money he spent.
Exit
how
left.
Bad they actually are.
Bro, a lot of money, bro.
Do you know what I mean? All right, let's go back to London, man. Tottenham versus Villa. Started off as a good game. Obviously, Villa went and took the lead, didn't they? Let me just double check. 3-2-1. Double check. They did take the lead. Morgan Rodgers with the goal in the half.
Morgan Rodgers.
And then obviously, man like Ange Postecoglou gets him in and goes, come on, lads, what are we doing here, mate?
Second half, mate. It's a new game.
We've just beat City, mate. Come out in the 49th minute. Brennan Johnson equalises. And then Solanke gets two, man. Dom, dom, dee, dom, dom, dom. I'm so lying, geek. James Madison.
Oh, is that it? Is that the chant? Is that what it is?
Oh. Big up T. Big up T. Dom, 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 so lying, geek. Obviously, when a song come off today, bro, he didn't look happy, did he? Didn't look like a happy boy. But we got, you know, Son, you're getting older now, man. We got to ease you back into it, fam.
I think he just came back from injury. He didn't play against City in the week. I think he'd been injured. So yeah, he came back. Obviously, he probably would have wanted a little bit more than 55 minutes or an hour. But yeah, I feel like maybe that was always the plan initially.
55 minutes felt a little bit disrespectful.
Yeah, I mean, I think that was the plan initially. Just to bring him back and just kind of ease him back in, and then maybe hopefully they can get over the line without him. And yeah, they managed to do that, man.
Tottenham at least in the second half were better than they were in the first half.
At least he's not mad as chilling on a bench.
Yeah, which is brutal. You'd be worried if you were James Maddison, wouldn't you? Because obviously they started with the midfield of Kulusevski, Bentancur and Matar Sarr as well.
Kulusevski got himself a little assist as well for that Solanke
goal as well. Yeah, and I feel like that's been a stroke of genius for Man, putting Kulusevski in the middle, because he's been really creative out there.
He's a lot bigger physically than Maddison. Yeah. And like I think he's as good, if not a little bit of a... He's a more powerful ball carrier than Maddison. I feel like Maddison... True. I don't know whether it's injuries, but like... Or maybe it's instruction from the manager. But like I was saying before, innit, Maddison... Normally, the positions that I would see him take up as a 10, seems like he's doing that like 10, 15 yards backwards and trying to be like some deep... Sort of Jorginho... Perlo thing. He's trying to be some deep playmaker for Tottenham, and it's not really happening, it's not working. Do you understand? I don't know if he's scared to go in there in the 10 and do you know what I mean, and get amongst it a little bit more. Maybe because Kulusevski's there and he's a bit bigger and he's a bit stronger, he's a bit more fearless in getting in there in them little tight spaces and whatnot. But we need to see more of that. We need to see Maddison back at his best, because right now, like, it's a bit rubbish. Nice free kick at the end, but I don't know what Martinez was doing, bro.
Best keeper in the world, by the way.
Bro, the man there too busy looking at his wall to concentrate on the free kick.
Oh, man, I said the best keeper in the world. I'm not sure about that
nonsense.
FIFA, all right, we get it, man. Or Ballon d'Or, whoever's voting. We get it, man. Messi won the World Cup. That was like 2 years ago now. Get over it. Doesn't mean his boy is the best keeper in the world, does it? Dom Solanke with 2 goals. One of them was an excellent finish.
Salah.
Showed that he's got a bit about him, man.
Little chip.
Yeah, nice little dinky.
Little confidence back now, yeah?
Yeah.
See Solanke start hitting the goals now.
See the
fantasy Naruto team.
Naruto team, big that up.
Was that a Naruto thing? I don't know what that was.
Animating. Big up with the anime, man.
I don't know what that was.
I don't know what that was, but let's talk about Villa, man. Bad day at the office for them. We were praising Onana because he was clearing up very well and he's a great player. And what's his name? T was captain for him to go to Arsenal, so was Eddie. But I think that might be the only positive kind of performance to come out of Aston Villa today. Maybe a Morgan Rodgers, but other than that, man, they looked a bit like they were out of ideas a bit, you know.
I don't know, like, I don't know what was good. Nah, do you know what, the centre backs were having a shocker. The centre backs were having
got a 5.6 rating, man.
Shocker.
And I tell you who's got a shocker rating today. Ollie Watkins, 5.7.
Yeah, he weren't really doing nothing.
Yeah. That knock and run, fam. We weren't feeling it, bro.
They had to bring on John Duran early, and they had 1 point, both of them on the pitch, and still nothing was happening. But the centre backs let Villa down today. Consar, Pau Torres especially, and I think the other one, Carlos as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, they rule at sixes and sevens trying to defend Tottenham today, and they couldn't get near anyone.
Oh, actually, let me just have a look.
Second half was peak. Was it Carlos?
It's Matty Cash, Luca Dean, Pau Torres, Ezri Konsa was the back four today.
Did Carlos come on at some point?
I believe he came on in the 60th minute.
Yeah,
came on in the 60th minute. But yeah, they were just bad today, man.
It was terrible, bro. It was terrible. You'd think they'd be a lot better defensively. Normally, you know.
To concede four, bro.
Emery prides himself on being a pragmatic manager, catching the team out on the break, like doing what you need to do to stay in the game and try punish them the other way. But, brother, none of that today. They were in shambles.
Yeah, Villa, man. Well, bro, it's good for us. Good for you as well, because, bro, they're really knocking on the door that top four again, obviously. But that brings them level on points with you. Well, they were level on points with you anyway, but Tottenham creep up to 2 points behind you guys. And that top four race is already heating up, man. I'm not putting you in that, by the way. But that top four race, fam, it's looking like it's taking shape.
Brighton on 60. How degrading.
How degrading, bro. I know, bro. Even when I'm looking at this, like, fam, there's a few teams. Oh, okay, I'll go from top 10. Newcastle on 15. Bournemouth on 15. Brighton, Tottenham on 16. And then Villa are on 18. You guys are on 18. Chelsea are on 18. So between 10th and 4th, bro, there's only 3 points that separate you, man, from Obviously, that will stretch out over time, but we'll see how that goes. All right, well, let's go around the rest of the league, man. Then, talking of top four, Forest are right up in there, mate. Tell you what, you guys are playing really well. Guess who scored again? Man like Chris Wood. He's having a hell of a season, bro. Let me look at his record, bro. I think
he's in the goals, man.
Yeah, fam. He's found the maddest touch. 8 goals this season in the Premier League. 8 goals in 10 games.
Warm.
Fam, he's having a great moving like
Haaland, fam.
Yeah, bro. He's a Kiwi. He's not quite an Aussie, but he's
I was going to say,
Kiwi.
Is he New Zealand?
He's a Kiwi, mate. It's kind of a same, similar accent, mate. But big up my friend Courtney, because she's from New Zealand.
Shout out Courtney.
I can't quite deal.
Why are they called Kiwis? I need to Google that.
I don't know. Maybe that's where Kiwis are from.
It's good fruit, Kiwi.
Callum Hudson-Odoi with a goal in the 65th, and Ola Aina with a goal in the 78th.
Did you see Aina's goal?
Ooh.
Oh my God.
Aina's warm, isn't it?
Oh.
Big up
Naija.
We've got a few players
left
out there.
Left foot volley. Pew pew. Top corner.
Ola Aina. How old is Ola? 28 years old. So he's been around for a minute still.
Yeah, man.
But it looks like he's finally found like his home, innit?
Been to Italy and back.
Season professional, man. Big up Forest. West Ham, man. You guys are in the mud.
Suck.
When do you think the fans are, bro? We've been to that ground, man.
Might be the first one to go, you know.
Yeah.
Obviously, Ten Hag.
Fucking hell, Antonio!
You know, obviously, what's his name? Eric Ten Hag has lost his job, but Lopetegui might be next, man.
Yeah, for real.
That West Ham situation, that is a shambles right now.
Exactly, bro. They're sitting at 14th in the league currently, 11 points.
Bro, it's bad. They're collecting batterings.
Yeah, it's not looking good, bruv. It's really not looking good for them. All right, man. Well, let's go to the next game. Southampton pick up their first win of the season, man. Everton as well. Sean, we've got to have a conversation, Shawnee, because we can't just keep doing this. Do you know what I mean? They've gone to Southampton and lost. Southampton won a game this season, bro.
It's class, man.
That's poor. They come to Ipswich and win, don't they? Got a fucking Southampton, fam.
6-pointer has sat down at Southampton, man.
Everton, man. Bro, you guys are in the muddy mud, man. It's actually so poor. Adam Armstrong would have gone in the 85th minute. Absolute scenes out there, bro.
Strikers just can't do it, man. Dominic Calvert-Lewin and Beto can't do it, man.
Yeah.
Good finish from Beto, but his goal was disallowed.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're just not doing it, bro.
Yeah, man. I think they're going to be in trouble, bro.
They're about to struggle again, man. Yeah. New stadium, potentially in the Championship, man.
Yeah, I'll big be, man thing, you know.
I'll be here for
I
it,
think
man.
Luckily for them, like, Scousers are loyal people, so they'll go there and they'll watch the team, but they won't be bloody happy in there, bro. I'll tell you that. They will not be happy in there. I'll tell you, the owners will not be happy in there. I'm just looking at the team now. I'm trying to pick off who we could take. Ooh, enjoy. Decent. McNeil. Idrissa Gueye. Probably passed it. Ashley Young. Not passed it. Pickford. Now you can stay there.
Ndiaye.
Yeah, that's the one I want, man. McNeil as well. I'll take McNeil. I'm not mad at McNeil. Maybe not for Liverpool.
Look off the bench, McNeil.
If Ipswich stay up, maybe he just, you know.
Yeah,
one of them.
That'd be decent. That's Premier League experience.
Talking about Ipswich, man. We absolutely messed it up, didn't we? We actually played a decent game against Leicester at home, and it finally felt like we were going to get
the first win of the season.
It would have lifted us out of the relegation zone, and man, town would have been buzzing. De Giro's would have been buzzing. Bar 21, where is it? Bloom would have been buzzing, mate. All the Ipswich shirts, Sinbar, all them things. Shots of Guan, man. It would have been a great vibe in town, but bro. Calvin Phillips, man. I think the game actually changes on this Calvin Phillips.
He stinks, man.
Someone's got to have a word with him, bro. Because he didn't play well. I think against West Ham, he was really bad as well. And then this game as well, man. We just, like... It's such an unnecessary yellow card as well, man. It's such a, like... God, bro, you didn't actually need to do that. You're on a booking.
Yep.
It's just, come on, man. Do you know what I mean? Great goal from Leif Davis as well. And I want to big up my guy, bro.
Unbelievable goal.
My guy, one guy I really like is Connor Chaplin, man. I really want him to do well.
Yeah, that's your boy.
Yeah, I'm backing him still. And he did play well, but, bro, oh, my Jeebus Christ, man. Oh, Calvin Phillips.
Game changed on that red card from Phillips,
actually really did.
We saying League One or go abroad?
What, Calvin Phillips?
Yep.
Yeah, maybe, man. Might have to go back down.
Champo might be too furious.
Get you back to Yorkshire. What they call the Yorkshire Pearl?
Oh, my God.
Oh, mate, that's what you have. That's
something we need to stop doing.
We'll give a man the Yorkshire.
We need to stop doing Croydon, De Bruyne. Yeah. We need to stop Iniesta. We need to stop doing that. Why are we catting for the European footballers?
Yeah. Why can't you just be Iniesta? Or why can't you just be fighting for football? Sorry. Man, classic 1-2 for the goal. Big up Jamie Vardy, man. Aging like a fine wine, bro. Man's come back into the league and said, look, I never left, did I, mate? Still got a Red Bull. I'm still here, mate. Great 1-2. Got done by the oldest.
Said, yep, twos, yep.
To me, to you. And Jordan Ayew coming off the bench and doing it again. He's doing it again. They tried to stop him, but he's doing it again. Are you? Yeah, I'm doing it again. I'm doing it again and again. Well, I can't believe he scored again in the last. He's doing it again. Sorry, I'm getting carried away.
Quality.
Yeah, scored in the last minute again. Bro, come on, the 86th minute, bro. Stroke of genius from Stephen Cooper, the ugliest man in football. Now, that's right. I shouldn't say that.
Andre Ayew, yeah. In another generation, he'd be a Barclays man.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, he is actually going to be a Barclays man. And then let's finish up, man, with Wolves 2, Palace 2. This game was on Sky Sports. Man, this was a game that both teams kind of needed to win, innit? And obviously, Wolves will be disappointed with this, man, because, bro, they need to... Bro, they're too good to be in the relegation zone.
Yeah, it's true,
they're
man.
They're too good to be bottom of the table. It's only mad, 3 points. It? Like, if all the teams that we were talking about in the start of the season, Wolves was not one I envisioned being in this position. But after 10 games, man, yeah, Gary O'Neill's a good coach. They've got some good players on the books. But boy, oh boy, they need to start turning around.
Obviously, Wolves have had a very, very tough start to the season with their fixtures. And this is one of them games where you thought, okay, maybe they'll be able to do something.
Yeah.
Shot themselves in the foot twice with two set piece goals that Palace scored, man. I think Guehi and Chalab, I think both the centre backs scored for Palace. So.
Yeah. I love Palace as well, so I do tough want Palace stuff. To stay up. I do want Wolves to stay up, man, but unlucky. The way the game goes is someone's got to go. Someone's got to go down eventually. That's not as great saying, is it?
Move on.
All right, guys, that is all the. That's all the games in the Premier League, man. We're going to talk a little bit about Ruben Amorim, but we might save it until he actually becomes the Manchester United manager. But we're going to have our little opinion about it. And then what we're going to do, Charles, is you're going to reveal your list of the top 10 players for Arsenal in the 21st century. I'm going to reveal the top 10 for Liverpool, and we're going to reveal Man City's one, and we're going to reveal Manchester United's one. So make sure you stay locked in for the Bench Podcast, man. Charles, it's your birthday episode.
Come on.
So we've been working hard as usual. And that's what we do, baby. I love that.
Come on, man.
Yeah, man. It's a late one, but we love it. All right, guys. Make sure you stick around. Let's go.
Benched. Brought to you by 14HQ.
All right, guys. Welcome back to the other side of the Bench Podcast, man. The weekly roundup has been rounded up, man. And we've gone for it. Now it's time to get in the bag. We saw something that Charles put into the group earlier in the week, sorry, and it was actually enticed us, man. It started a great conversation, and it was this. Let me just find it for you now, guys. It was Manchester City's top 10 best players of the 21st century, as per our friends over at Goal. Now, guys, I want you to know, do you agree with this? I think this is a little bit harsh on a couple of players, but let me read out the list to you. Charles, let me know if you agree or disagree with any of them. It went a bit like this. Kevin De Bruyne at number one, Sergio Aguero at number two, David Silva at number three, Vincent Kompany at number four, Ilkay Gundogan at number five, Bernardo Silva at number six, Rodri at number seven, Erling Haaland at number eight. Man's only been there for two seasons, by the way. Phil Foden at number nine and Yaya Toure at number 10. As per Goal, that is the top 10 best Manchester City players of the 21st century. So, Goal, thank you for inspiring this one. We are going to do our own clubs of Liverpool, Arsenal, and we have a list for Manchester United as well, but we don't have a list for Chelsea. So, guys, if you are Chelsea fans, get involved. Let us know who your top 10 players are. Charles, before we get into our list, what do you think of this Man City list, man? I just deep that Haaland's there, and he's only been there for like 2 years, bro. It's actually mad.
Brother. I mean, obviously, he's come in and he's done an absolute mad thing. So, I kind of hear it, but I think I'd probably put him 9 or 10.
Yeah.
I think I might have Aguero 1. Instead of Kevin De Bruyne, I think I might swap them too.
Yeah, I'm not mad at that. I guess he has the moment as well, doesn't he?
Yeah, I mean, he has the moment, he has the goals. You know, that kind of thing. So I think I'd maybe put Sergio Aguero at number one and maybe swap him with Kevin De Bruyne.
Yeah.
No disrespect to KDB, but I think Aguero needs to take that number one spot.
If anyone can swap it, it's for,
I think it's sacrilegious that they've got Yaya Toure at 10.
Yeah.
I think...
That might be some recency bias, you know.
Bro, I think I'd put him...
Yaya Toure is a better player than Rodri.
Brother, I'd have him... I'd have him fifth or sixth.
Yeah. And he's a better player than Gundogan.
I think I might have him sixth, though, because Gundo is so clutch for these, man.
True. He does have a lot of big moments.
Do you know what I mean? Like, in countless seasons, he's been so clutch for these, man.
So does Toure, though, man. Toure has some big moments for Manchester City as well.
I don't think...
Or maybe not as important.
As much.
Yeah, true.
So I think maybe I'd maybe put Yaya Toure sixth, move everyone else down, and I'd find somewhere for Sterling on this list,
100%,
man. Foden can cut, or Haaland can cut, or something like that.
I feel like it's too early in Foden's career because I feel like he's only been like a mainstay in this team for the last 2 years. But to say he's one of your best players over the last 24 years, which is the 21st
century.
Understand? Considering what Sterling done there. He scored over 100 goals.
Yeah, that's the big disrespect on Sterling, man. Big disrespect. So I think Sterling needs to find his place in this top 10. Yaya needs to be higher. And Sergio Aguero, I'd swap with Kevin De Bruyne.
Yeah, I think that's fair, man. Guys, Man City fans, if you're listening, if you exist.
You know?
Let us know, man. Let us know what your thoughts are of the top 10, top 10 Manchester City players, best players of the 21st century. Right, Charles, now it's our turn, man.
Yeah, man.
How do you want to do this? Watch this, the mic on your coat as well, because it's better. A little bit rustly. How do you want to do it? Rock, paper, scissors, yeah? Two goes first.
Rock, paper, scissors. Yeah. Coming in. Rock, paper, scissors.
Oh, you go first.
That's me, yeah.
Let's discuss the Arsenal's top 10 best... I'm trying to tee this up for the socials.
Nah, go on.
The 10 best Arsenal players of the 21st century as per the Bench Podcast. Charles Edition.
Number one. Come on, man. We all know who's number
it's
one,
TT, innit?
Thierry Henry. Yeah, has TT. To be Thierry Henry,
TT.
Man.
Big up him and Kate.
Record goal scorer, the king, everything.
Yeah, he is, man.
Number two, Patrick Vieira. Captain.
Fair. Yeah, yeah.
Captain Fantastic.
Captain Fantastic!
Fantastic. If you know, you know. You know, winner in the 90s, 97, 98, 01, 02, and 3-4.
Invincible.
King. Wish you won a Champions League with him, but damn.
Yeah, man.
So it go. Number three, I put Robert Pires.
Questioned on this earlier, weren't you? But explain that one, man.
The original inverted winger.
True. Scored a lot of goals.
The original, for that time, for 20 years ago, the original inverted goal scoring, assisting, can even drop into centre midfield if you need to, type winger.
Yeah.
01, 02, he was PFA Player of the Year in a team that had Omri, that had Bergkamp, that had, what's his name? Vieira in it as well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He was one of the mainstays.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's got his FA Cup winning goal, 02-03 against Southampton, beating 1-0 at I think it was Millennium Stadium. I think it was the Cardiff thing. So he's got a cup final goal. He's got a PFA. He's got two Premier Leagues. I think he's got two FA Cups as well.
He's earned it, man. He's earned it.
Yeah, man. And yeah, when Thierry wouldn't score, you know, Pires would pop up with a goal.
Yeah.
You know, Pires was there.
Yeah.
So I got Pires at number three. I got Ashley Cole at number four.
Yeah, club legend.
Pains me to say.
Yeah.
And I'd say probably...
And I think because he's like one of the best left-backs of all time, he has to go on the list.
Regardless of Thierry Henry. You know, obviously, yeah. You know, he's obviously, again, he's won, I think, 2 or 3 FA Cups with us, 2 leagues. And he was one of those ones, other than Thierry Henry, I think we could all categorically say at one point was the best in the world in his position.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
Playing for us.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you understand? And again, another one, that's 4 players from that Invincible team, but it is what it is, man. The junior from that Invincible team, the one player who, other than those guys, I would have wished we won something with for the life of me, but we never did. Number 5 is Cesc Fabregas.
Yeah, that's fair. Very fair.
I'll have him in at number 5.
That's good because I feel like he went from a boy to a man at Arsenal.
Yeah, word.
Yeah, for real.
Captain, leader.
I'll never forget that goal against Tottenham.
Yeah, man. Yeah. And then unfortunately, kind of saw out the real... Not necessarily the prime, but like he went on to new levels with Barcelona and then Spain, winning
came back
leagues,
won a league with Chelsea,
Champions Leagues there, World Cup, and then came back and won a league with Chelsea. So, a legend for 2 clubs.
Yeah,
but he's our boy, and I'm putting him number 5 on this list.
Yeah, 100.
Number 6, I'm gonna go Alexis Sanchez.
I think his legacy kind of not. I guess it's not a legacy because maybe he wasn't there long enough to create a legacy. But his impact at the time was
undeniable.
He was truly world class when he was there, man.
It was literally like I think post all of those, post the Invincible boys, and then post maybe like Cesc Fabregas, maybe Van Persie for a bit. It was like even them lot, we had them young, and we like Wenger made them, or kind of nurtured them into the player that they then became.
Yeah.
Alexis was ready made.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Wenger didn't have to be like, yo, I teach him how to do this and I teach him how to become a better player. Bro, he was already wavy and he came to us and he just went again to a new level and really, like, dragged us forward, had us fighting for titles and whatnot.
What player, by the way, man?
So Alexis Sanchez is number six for me. Mesut Ozil, I'm going to put in at number seven. I feel like Ozil was the catalyst for us returning back to winning ways.
It was a statement, wasn't it?
We signed Ozil.
It was a big statement when you signed him.
Trust me, we signed Ozil. And yeah, in his time, we started winning. We won three FA Cups.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And we had that kind of barren spell where we'd get to the League Cup final two, three times, we'd lose it.
Yeah.
Other than that, maybe like 07, 08 was the only other title race that we'd had. Any other time after that, we wouldn't get near.
Yeah.
Even FA Cups, we wouldn't get near them.
Yeah, it's true.
And until like Alexis and Ozil especially came back into that team, it was like, okay, now we can finally get over the line. Now we actually have world-class players in our team that have won stuff that can help us get over the line. So, yeah, it got unfortunate towards the end. We couldn't play him in away games because he's too much of a push show, but yeah, man.
Every superstar has their own thing, isn't it, Joe?
Mesut Ozil.
Yeah.
Number eight, the Tottenham fans are going to love this. I'm put Sol Campbell in there.
Yeah, Sol Campbell.
Bro,
I think they were talking about him on Stick to Football the other day. Talking about how he doesn't really get the credit he deserves.
Everyone talks about Rio and Terry and all these things. For England,
Sol Campbell started a lot of games.
I seem to remember Rio and Sol playing for England a lot. Sorry, Terry, mate. JT. But yeah, man, Sol Campbell, goes from being one of the best players at Tottenham, tells him he's staying. He comes to us, he wins the league.
I'm staying.
I love it. And then he comes to us and he wins the league.
And he went, I'm leaving.
Won the FA Cup the next year.
He's got to be like, at the time, he must have been one of the best centre-backs in the world, man.
That's what I'm saying. 100%. That's what I'm saying. Very, very big centre-back for us, man. And he got that goal in the Champions League final.
Yeah, I remember
that. As a real big moment for us. He then leaves. He goes and wins the FA Cup and that with Pompey and Harry Redknapp and all them boys. Yeah, he's a Premier League legend. And yeah, for us, I'm going to have him as number eight, the only centre-back in our 21st century Arsenal top 10 list.
Yeah.
Number nine, I put Dennis Bergkamp. Now,
this one was one you were back and forth and over.
Now, if this was like in the last 30 years, it's where we could add the 90s when he came in.
Yeah, he might have squeezed him out, yeah.
Bro, I can't lie, he might be top three. You know, obviously, everyone around my age obviously cites Thierry.
Oh, sorry, you mean if it was from like 94?
Yeah. Cool, he might be top three for me. Yeah, obviously, Ian Wright might be in there, but yeah, Bergkamp would be way higher on this list if it weren't from 2000 onwards.
Yeah.
But yeah, like throughout the 90s, obviously, I was a little bit too young to be conscious of Arsenal. I was more conscious of Arsenal in the millennium, from 2000 onwards. So for me, it was always Thierry.
Yeah.
But before Thierry, it was Bergkamp. Yeah, Bergkamp was the real game changer, top three Ballon d'Or that came to us, changed things for us, won the league for us in 97, 98. So I understand if the older generation might see him as a game changer and he should be higher up, but this is from 2000 to now. Yeah. So I'm putting him in. I'm keep him in the top 10 though.
Yeah.
And then number 10.
Who just squeezes in the list, bro?
Bukayo Saka
running down the wing. Wait. I think he's the future in it. That's why.
I just need us to win something with him.
Yeah.
He's got an FA Cup. We need more.
Yeah.
We need more.
He's the future, man. I think that's almost like. Obviously, because he hasn't, like you said, he hasn't won the trophies, etc. But the level he's playing and the way he's playing, you know he's going to be...
At the consistency super, as yeah, well. Yeah, 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 and if he doesn't leave, if he stays with us, then he's due to climb up that list. So it might be a bit premature, might be going a bit early, but I'm sticking him in the list, man.
I can't lie, just based on... Yeah, I hear it. He might be one of the most important players especially like in terms of Haaland, if he goes on to be... like a world-class, like top level player.
That's it.
That academy is going to be a big deal, man. So I hear it. All right, man. Well, let's move on to Liverpool. Now, starting off at the top, it goes without saying, I think all Liverpool fans will select this man as the most, this is the 10 best Liverpool players of the 21st century as per The Bench Podcast. It's number one. I'm going with Steven Gerrard. I think a lot of the Liverpool fans
will probably agree.
You know, Mr. Fantastic does it all. Mr. Liverpool does it all. Defends, attacks, shoots. He can play DM. He can play attacking mid. He can play centre mid. He can do box to box. He can tackle. He can score. He can pass. He can do it all, man. I've not seen it. He's the best midfielder in the Premier League history for me, man. One of the best midfielders of all time for me. Stevie G goes without saying, absolute club legend. So let's get that one out of the way. I think that one's Mr. Obvious. Number two now, this is where the list, you know, it starts to get a bit more debatable. And I think we were talking about him earlier, Charles, on the pod. And it has to go to the Egyptian king. Mr. Mo Salah is number two.
Yeah, yeah.
As the second best player in the 21st century for Liverpool. Mo Salah, man. 164 goals in the Prem. I can't even figure out the maths right now of goals and assists and all that kind of stuff. But one thing, yeah, whether you like his style, if he's not aesthetically the best looking player to watch sometimes, one thing you can't deny is his output and his impact on our team, man. And it's, you know, he's had countless massive, massive moments. I think he scored against, he's had massive moments against the top six clubs as well. And Mo Salah, I think when he leaves the Premier League, I think we're going to look back at his time here and look back at all the highlights and all the goals and all the moments and go, wow, he's not just one of the best players for Liverpool. He's one of the best players to ever play in the Premier League.
So special player still.
Goes without saying, man, Mo Salah number two. And this is the second player to come out of the Klopp era. And he's number three. That's Virgil van Dijk. I think Virgil van Dijk, absolute Rolls Royce of a defender. I think, arguably, again, one of the best defenders to ever play in the Premier League. He's definitely been the best player in his world in his position over the last 4 to 5 years. And maybe not consistently, but at one point in the last 5 to 6 years or the time he's been at Liverpool, he's been the best centre-back in the world. He's the blueprint, man. I think Saliba, obviously, is like the young apprentice. And I think the biggest compliment to Van Dijk is people say, oh, he looks like he plays like... Saliba looks like he plays like Van Dijk. Do you know what I mean? They have. I think that's a massive compliment for any young footballer that's kind of being talked up the way Saliba's being talked up. To say that Van Dijk, once you become like... It's like, for example, when someone says the Makalele role. Like, if someone's saying you're doing it like that, then I think that's a massive compliment. And I think Virgil Van Dijk, man, he's really made that position like... One of the best. He's been one of the best in Premier League history at that. And obviously finishing second in the Ballon d'Or, only behind Messi, 2019. Goes without saying, man. Big up Virg. And he's extremely, extremely cool. Number four in my list for Liverpool is another player from the Jurgen Klopp era. And I think this is the man that started it all, man. I'll never forget that goal he scored against Arsenal on the opening day of the season, I think in 2016. And he jumped on Klopp's back. And that is Sadio Mane. And I've heard someone say...
I remember that goal.
You remember that goal?
Yeah, yeah.
Sadio Mane is the best footballer in the world. I don't do if buts or maybes. He's the best footballer in the world. I'm being serious. Why is he laughing? What do you say? If my aunt had balls, she'd be my uncle. But she doesn't, so she's not. You get what I mean? And that is Sadio Mane, man. One of the players, the famous front three. Man, what a player. Absolutely electric. I remember hearing Trent saying that he's like... He's up there as one of the best defenders he's ever had to defend against in training. And he said like he's almost like Ronaldo in a way. He's physically and what he can do on the pitch, man. So big up Sadio Mane. Number five is a Liverpool legend, record appearance maker. I'm going with Jamie Carragher, simply for the fact that he's won so many big trophies with Liverpool. And I forgot to even mention about Mo, Virgil and Mane. Like, they've won everything with Liverpool. But Carra is another player that I think throughout the 21st century, if we're going back to the other eras, like 2001 when he won the treble, obviously 2005, crowning moment when he wins the Champions League, 2006 where he wins the FA Cup. Big, big moments in Liverpool's history, important moments in Liverpool's history, because, bro, if we didn't win that Champions League, I think, not that it would have been bad or anything, but I think that's like a big moment in the club's shift towards a modern era, especially that treble in 2001 with Gerard Houllier. And Jamie Carragher played a part in that. I know, obviously, there's those conversations about is he amongst the best centre-backs in the Prem at the time, in England, etc. He's in and around the England fold. But I think for Liverpool, you have to give him his credit, man. You don't make over 700 league appearances or 700 appearances for a club without being a really, really good player. And I think Jamie Carragher, he was a very, very good player. So give him the credit where it's due. Obviously, going on to be a great pundit. So...
Great.
Yeah, he's a great pundit.
Hmm.
We need some Arsenal pundits, you know. It was only right. Keown.
Parler. Bear man on TalkSport.
Yeah, they're TalkSport, aren't they? You know, if I can imagine.
Keown's decent.
Yeah, Keown's decent. So, yeah, Jamie Carragher comes in at five. At number six, one of the best strikers to ever play the game. But unfortunately, he wasn't at Liverpool long enough for me to put him higher on the list.
Hear it.
I think if he was at Liverpool a little bit longer, I would have put him higher. That's Luis Suarez. Coming in at number six, bro. Obviously, in the Premier League when he was here, bro. 34 goals in the Prem. Unbelievable, man. Him and Sturridge nearly dragged us to a league title on our own. You know, with players like Martin Skirtle at the back and that. No disrespect to them, man. But
I think his season, you know, that season where he was going crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that might be a top five
campaign
ever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That campaign was crazy, man. He was scoring all types of goals. Bangers, volleys, yeah. Side foots, headers, da-da-da-da.
He was moving mad.
Yeah, he was moving absolutely crazy, man. Now, number seven, I'm going to go with Trent Alexander-Arnold. I think it's a kind of a similar kind of category to what you're putting Saka in, because obviously Trent's only 26, so he's still got a lot of his career ahead of him. But what he's obviously done already, he's kind of won everything with the club, makes his debut at 18. Klopp shows a lot of faith in him, and bruv, the way he's kind of redefined what a right back does to some extent, obviously with the breaking assist records, him and Robbo, so big up Robbo. But he's just a world-class player, man. And they obviously, we're calling him the modern day, like, David Beckham from right
Baby
back.
Baby Beckham, man.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So
it's Baby Beckham from
right back. I also think, obviously, seventh in terms of, like, the top 10 best players of the 21st century for Liverpool is a big, big compliment. But I think he's been part of, you know, one of our most successful periods, man. Do you know what I mean? So I think we do have to put him in there. And again, given the whole kind of look to the future and the potential, he's going to go on to be a Liverpool captain if he stays. I think we do have to put him. If it's not, like, just say it wasn't just top 10 best, I think it'd be top 10 most important players we've had in Liverpool. So Trent's going in at seven. At number eight, it is the Bayer Leverkusen manager, Xabi Alonso. Man, I mean, when we talk about the Rafa era, we can't leave out Mr. Xabi Alonso. There's some really good players in that era, but I think Xabi Alonso was one of the best midfielders to ever played for Liverpool, especially in the modern era. So he has to go in there, man. This guy, if you want to talk about passing range, you want to talk about Xabi Alonso.
Daisy cutters. I mean?
Yeah, literally. He's got every kind of pass in the armoury, bro. And then obviously he goes on to Real Madrid, does what he does at Real Madrid. I didn't even mention that about Suarez. Suarez obviously goes on to be one of the best strikers of all time at Barcelona, in one of the best, most formidable three. But Xabi Alonso goes on to do what he does at Real Madrid, goes on to do what he does at Bayern Munich. Yeah, man. One of the best midfielders I think Liverpool have ever had in terms of in this modern era. And obviously Stevie G, he's got a lot of praise for Xabi Alonso. He said he's his favourite midfield partner. So big up Xabi Alonso. Number nine is Alisson Becker. Now, if you want to talk about players that were really important for Liverpool and that really changed the trajectory of the Klopp era, I think him and Alisson Becker and Virgil van Dijk, when we both signed both of them to, I think that was the final key to the jigsaw for us, the final piece of the jigsaw for us. And Alisson Becker, man, what more can I say,
the
man?
The cat.
Bro, he's one. It's mad that, like, I have to put a goalkeeper in his top 10 best players. But he's been. We talk about, like, best players in the world in their position at the time. He's been that on multiple occasions. I think he's been the best goalkeeper in the world maybe two or three times in his time in Liverpool. And some of the moments he's literally kept us in games. He saved us from. I remember that in particular one that comes to mind is that saving against Napoli in the Champions League in the campaign that we won. Where I think I can't remember, it was 1-1. I think I want to say, who's the guy with the L? A place for Levezzi. He was just 1-on-1 with Becker, and if he doesn't save that, bro, we go out. But luckily, obviously, he saves it because he's a world class keeper. We go on to win the Champions League. So, Alisson Becker, man, to be a goalkeeper and to be in this list, man, you have to be.
Shout out him, man.
You have to be top stuff. And this one, man, this one was tough. This was between two players. But I think just given about how what he's achieved for the club and given the kind of journey he went on the club when he got here and that's and how he left, and he left winning everything and being the first captain to lift the Premier League for Liverpool.
Say his name, man.
I think it has to say his name.
Say his name.
I think it has to be Jordan Henderson comes in at 10, man. I think I maybe... maybe in terms of bar for bar, but I think he's one of those players, isn't it, where it's almost like he might not be the flashiest player, but what he does for the team and how he impacts the team and how he captains the team, how he leads the team, I think he has to be in this list, man. Like I said, he was a captain for our most successful era since the 1980s and in the Klopp era. So Jordan Henderson goes in at number 10, but it was very close between him and Bobby Firmino. And I might even put Phil Coutinho in that bracket.
I hear it. So wait, how many Klopp man have you got?
Klopp, man, I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
I've got 5. I've got 6 invincible, man.
Yeah, bro.
Best errors.
Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Bro, it has to be, do you know what I mean? Bro.
Those are our best errors, man.
They are, yeah.
It is what it is.
Literally, it is what it is, man. But yeah, that's the top 10 for Liverpool. So
strong list, man. I like them lists.
Yeah. Very, very good list, both of them, man. But let's get to Kiz's list. He added in one for Manchester United.
He did, didn't he?
Manchester United fans.
Let's see if you lot agree with this.
Yeah, let's see if you lot agree with this. The 10 best Manchester United players of the 20th century as per the Bench Podcast. It goes like this. Cristiano Ronaldo, number one. Wayne Rooney, number two. Roy Keane at number three. Ryan Giggs at number four. Paul Scholes at number five, Ruud van Nistelrooy at number six, Robin van Persie at number seven, Michael Carrick at number eight, Rio Ferdinand number nine, Paul Pogba at number 10. I wish I was a Man United fan to chat through this because I'm not quite sure. Listen, I just want to say, guys, Bob Charles did not select this list.
Nope.
This comes from Kiz of the Man United fan.
Yeah.
On this list. So I don't know, man. I think Keane. Just because maybe he was more 90s.
Can we even go before that? I think Rooney should be one, you know?
I think Rooney should be one. Considering Cristiano Ronaldo wasn't in the Premier League for as long.
I get he's the one there that's won the Ballon d'Or and rare, but...
But in terms of Manchester United... But he did win a Ballon d'Or at Man United.
But Rooney was there from 16 to like...
Yeah, true.
Rooney was there a whole childhood.
Yeah.
Do you understand? Ronaldo was there and he bossed. He was mad for like 3 years and then he cut.
That's true.
I don't know if I could give that one over Rooney. Rooney was there putting in mileage, bro. Yeah,
playing different positions as
Do
well.
You get?
Robin van Persie for me as well. That one might be a little bit for Gaze Aline. And if you notice, there's no players from the modern day, from like the last 5 to 10 years.
Other than Pogba.
Yeah. Other than Pogba.
Well, that's very telling.
And even Pogba is a...
That's very telling because Man United have been awful like recently. But I feel like low-key... Maybe, do you know what? I was going to say Carrick higher, but maybe stay where he is. I think Rio should be higher.
Yeah. I think that's a little bit unfair.
I think Rio should be higher. But again, it's like, it's a defender and all the other men are wingers, attackers. Yeah. You know what I mean? Central midfielders, a bit more exciting positions and whatnot.
Pogba in this top 10? On ability, I get it. Bro, I'm a massive Pogba
fan. It's literally ability.
Yeah. But top 10 player of the 21st century for Manchester United? For Man United? Oof. Kiz, I know you love him, man, but I think that one might...
You know?
For me, I think that one might be a bit of a stretch.
Yeah,
I can't think of the top of my head who would replace him, though, if I'm honest.
Maybe
the first name that comes to head is like...
Zlatan?
Zlatan, oof.
He came in, he won that treble for them?
I don't know, I don't think so, man. He was last towards the end of his career, innit? Maybe even a Rashford? Nah. Tevez? Nah.
There's a couple.
Vidic?
Maybe a Vidic.
A Van der Sar?
Maybe a Vidic. Van der Sar? Van der Sar?
Maybe.
Yeah, Van der Sar's got to be in this list. Yeah. I can't lie to you.
But Pogba, I think that...
That's an ability that he loves Pogba, man. It is what it is, man, isn't it?
Man United fans, let us know what you think of the list because we're not sure on a couple of those. But let us know what you think of the list, man. Next time we need to do Chelsea and we need to do what other big clubs are there in England?
Not Tottenham.
All right, guys. Well, that is it for the Bench Podcast. Charles, let's talk about the Champions League really quickly, man.
Yeah, man.
Manchester, you're going to go to Milan in the week. That's going to be a great trip for you, my bro. And I really hope you enjoy it. But
yes,
what are you thinking about the game, man?
It's going to be tricky. All Champions League games are tricky. And with the fixtures that we have, all of our away games are likely to be the tricky ones. So we've gone to Atalanta away. That was a tricky one. We've got, obviously, Inter away. I think we probably have Girona away. And then I think there's one more. I think it might be Sporting Lisbon away or something like that. So, yeah, all of those games are likely to be tricky. I'm interested to see how we do against Inter. The only real reference that I have of Inter is some of the games that they played against Man City recently. It seems to be the only team that they... Did you play them?
Who?
Have you played Inter?
No, we played AC.
Oh, you played AC, okay. So, yeah, I mean, I think maybe the City games are the only real reference that I have in terms of how Inter line up against English opposition. But I know that they're a good team. They got good strikers. Obviously, Lautaro Martinez, I think he was in, like, top five for Ballon d'Or or whatever this year.
Yeah.
Turam's obviously a really good striker. I like their midfield and I like Bastoni. I like their centre back. So They've got like, a good 5-6 players in that team that I really rate and respect. I rate the left back as well.
Yeah,
that's gonna be a big DeMarco. I think he's one of the best left backs in the world. I mean, whether you want to argue if he's a left back or a left wing back, like, that's your business. I'm not gonna beef with you on that one. But I think that battle between him and Saka on that left / right hand side is gonna be very
these
very
are the moments
key
you want,
isn't
it? These are the moments you want to see for the boys, isn't it? Like when we talk about if they're best players in the world, etc. These are the nights that prove if you are, man.
And yeah, I mean, I would say that I'm a little bit nervous. Obviously, the last couple of games that we've played across all competitions haven't been best. We haven't really given the best account of ourselves, but it's a different competition. It's an opportunity to go out there and go show who we are. So
yeah,
man, I'm excited for the game. I will be there. I'm in Milan. Jeez. I'm in Milan for a couple of days from the 5th to the 8th.
Jeez.
So I won't be back to the weekend. I'll come pod on the weekend. Tell you like how it
I
was.
I loved that. Liverpool take on Bayer Leverkusen at Anfield, and I think I'm actually excited, man. Alonso, yeah, is that you? You don't want to come? We're gonna show you.
Come back, the man, then.
Yeah, fam. We're gonna show you why you should have came. Well, actually, no. Big up. Oh no, it's a lot. I like him, man. He's kind of his personality's coming out a bit more. He's swearing in presses and that. He's giving it a bit. He said it's the first time he kind of felt like the real atmosphere of Anfield, like really felt the crowd against Brighton. So I'm looking forward to it, man.
Okay.
Bro, we've gone through 5 of this. We're in the woods, but we've gone through the run and we're looking strong, man. I'm looking forward to it. I think we're going to win. Oh, no. I shouldn't have said that, should I? Should not have said that.
Yeah, you could. You could. You're at Anfield, isn't
it? Yeah, anything's possible, man. Bayer Leverkusen,
European nights at Anfield are long days.
Quite haven't hit the stride that they hit last season. Bayer Leverkusen in the Bundesliga. I think, let me just double check where they sit, but I know they're not, like, obviously this time last season I feel like they were flying, weren't they? Well, they were doing really well. But alright guys, the thing's not going to load. Actually it is. Let me have a look where Bayer Leverkusen are in their league. Okay, it's not going to load. Alright guys, well, that's it for the bench. Shut up, Bob, man. Alright guys, well, that is another episode of the Bench Podcast, man. If you're listening on the DSPs, make sure you like, share, subscribe, do all that good stuff, man. If it's on Spotify, if it's on Apple Podcasts, give us a review, man. Please give us some ratings. Download the podcast. We really do appreciate it. And if you're watching on YouTube, man, make sure you like, share, subscribe. And if you're watching on the socials, man, get involved, man. Drop us a comment, bro. We're going to comment back. Trust me, we're going to be active. And guys, thank you for keep tuning into the podcast. Charles, is it Arteta out or not?
Hell no, man.
Hell no. That's what you're saying. And you know what that means? Arnie slot in. All right, guys. We'll see you same place, same time next week, baby. Let's go.
Benched. Brought to you by 14HQ.